You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
You know, as your pastor stated, I am an alumnus here. I was here from K-4 to 8th grade, graduated in 83, and being back in this sanctuary or this worship center just reminds me of the times that we would have chapel here. And really had a good time here at Advent. Our text this morning will be taken from Mark, the 10th chapter, the Gospel according to Mark, the 10th chapter, verses 32 through 34. Mark, the 10th chapter, verses 32 through 34, from the Word of God. They were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. And the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. He said, "We're going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. And 3 days later, he will rise." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let church say amen, 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 amen. All right. This was the third time that Jesus talked about his death. He actually prophesied about what was going to happen to him. Now, I don't know if Jesus had visions about his death. That's possible. I don't know if he had dreams about it. But I do know that as a student of Scripture, as someone who was so closely connected to the Word of God, that everything that he did and thought was a manifestation of its truth, so much so that the Apostle John, in an attempt to describe Jesus, he said in the prologue of his book, he said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." I mean, that's a powerful statement from the Apostle John. And so Jesus knew intuitively, but he also knew from having studied the Word of God that he was going to be God's suffering servant. He knew that he would die as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. And I can imagine that when Jesus read scripture like the story of Abraham and Isaac, he deeply identified with that. He saw himself as an Isaac of sorts. He saw himself as being led by God to the region of Moriah. He saw the Father preparing an altar for him on one of the mountains there, except his mountain, his hill, would be on Golgotha, right outside of Jerusalem. And I'm sure that he was able to identify in a way that no one else could with the words that David prophesied about in Psalm 16, when David said, "My body will rest in hope because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not allow the body of your Holy One to see corruption." Now, I'm sure at some point Jesus recognized that the scriptures were pointing to and prophesying about him. And so when Jesus was sure that his disciples believed that he was the Messiah, that he was more than a teacher, that he was more than a prophet, but that he was God's anointed son, when Jesus was sure of that, then he told his disciples what he ultimately came here to do. The Bible says that the first time he told them was after Peter confessed that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it was at that point, beginning right there, that Jesus, he began to explain and he began to teach his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, that he must suffer many things at the hands of the chief priests, that he would be killed, but on the third day he would be raised to life. And the first time Jesus explained this to them, Peter was the one who took Jesus aside and he began to rebuke him. He said, "No, no, never, Lord. This shall never happen to you." And Jesus had to set him back on his heels. He had to put Peter in his place. He said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are trying to be a stumbling block to me because you don't have in mind the concerns of God, but rather you have in mind human concerns. And I'm trying to elevate you above that, Peter." Oh, if we could just get our human concerns right out of the way. If just for a few moments we could put what we want aside, you know, how we feel about something or how others feel about something, and yet get connected with the concerns of God, I believe that all of us, we would have an unprecedented amount of clarity. Clarity in how we think and in what we think, and clarity in how we feel. Because most of the time, let's be honest, most of the time we don't make decisions based upon what God has in mind, but we make decisions based upon what we have in mind or how we feel about something. All of those, you know, convoluted reasons, blah, blah, blah. But if all of us would begin to apply the word of God to our situation, I believe that we would be clearer on a great many things, all right? We would be clearer on a great many things. But even after the first time, after he rebuked Peter, they still did not understand what Jesus was saying to them. Not really. They didn't want to understand. They didn't want to hear it. They were caught unprepared when the soldiers came for Jesus in the garden. Like my grandmother used to say, they were caught with their britches down, right? The second time Jesus told them about his death, they were passing through Galilee. And he didn't want anyone to know it because he was teaching his disciples. And he had taken them aside to show them the scriptures, what he knew about himself to be true. And I'm sure he told them about how the first Passover that was initiated by Moses, that it was about him, that he was the Passover lamb who would be slain. I'm sure that he told them about the suffering servant in Isaiah chapters 52 and Isaiah chapter 53, and it was how those things were pointing to him, that he was God's suffering servant. I'm sure he drew from the prophecies of King David himself. And he said to them again, he said, "We're going up to Jerusalem. All right, the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death. They will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked, to be flogged, and to be crucified. But on the third day, he will be raised to life." And Matthew says that his disciples, after hearing this, they were filled with grief. Luke says that they did not grasp what Jesus was saying to them. They didn't understand it, and they were afraid to ask him about it. And very soon thereafter, the disciples got into an argument with one another about who was the greatest, right? Grief, you know, a lack of comprehension, a lack of comprehension and frustration. All of these things were present and bubbling within the disciples, and they didn't know what to do with it. And so what happened was they got into an argument with each other. And perhaps they would have self-destructed had it not been for Jesus and his understanding of human nature, right? He knows who we are. We don't have to hide from him. We certainly cannot hide things from him. So if we open ourselves to the Lord, if we recognize that, you know, all of us indeed are poor in spirit and we need the blood, the mercy, and the grace of the Lord Jesus, I believe that if we open ourselves to him, he will forgive us and he will heal us of those things that are not pleasing to him. But listen, running and hiding and dipping and dodging, no, that's not going to get it. So I asked myself, as I was studying the scripture, why is it that the disciples did not grasp what Jesus was saying? Was it that these things were hidden from them? What was it about his death and his resurrection that was just too much for them to process? I mean, it seemed that Jesus, what he said to them was very simple and plain. I mean, he didn't bite his tongue. He didn't stutter and he didn't stammer. He wasn't confused in what he said. He just said it, you know. He wasn't like, "Well, let me see. How can I say this to you? When we get to Jerusalem, it appears perhaps that we, or more specifically, I am going to have to go through some difficulties, which, of course, apparently are going to be unpleasant. And I want to put you on notice right now because you have a lot of faith in me. And I want you to understand that I appreciate that. And I want you to know that I appreciate it because it symbolizes the fact that you believe and you are committed to me and the Father and the reason why I have come." You see, Jesus did not say all of that. He wasn't pontificating and speaking vaguely, right? He said, "We're going up to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man will be delivered into the hands of the religious leaders. They will condemn him to death, hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. And then 3 days later, he will rise." That's what Jesus said, and that is how he put it. So why did the disciples not understand this? What was it? What was it that they missed? Well, you know, I remember the days before the war between Russia and Ukraine. And U.S. intelligence said to the Ukrainians and to the world that Russia was preparing to invade. They had reports and they had intelligence that this was most likely what was going to happen. And this was about 2 to 3 months before the invasion. But somehow, the United States had intelligence that this was what Vladimir Putin had planned. And first, the United States reported that Russia had amassed about 25% of their troops on the border of Ukraine. And many people, including the Ukrainians, they did not take the report seriously. Do you all remember that? President Zelensky, he counseled the people in his country to be calm, to remain calm, and he wanted the United States to stop talking about troops being amassed on the border. He wanted us to stop talking about war. He felt that we were in some sense poking, you know, the Russian bear, and we were claiming that the sky was falling when there was no evidence that that was happening. But the United States intelligence, they kept coming back. They kept saying that Russia now has amassed 50% of its people on the border. They have now amassed 75% of the people on the border. They have now amassed 90% of its troops on the border. And the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, and the National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan, they said, we can't predict the day, but this is what we see happening from the intelligence. As a matter of fact, Jake Sullivan said that all Americans in Ukraine should leave there within 24 to 48 hours. And all of this happened before the invasion. And right up until that time, the Ukrainian representatives were saying that all of these reports were escalating tensions instead of de-escalating them. And now look at where we are. We're in the war for over more than a year now, right? Now, I'm not criticizing Ukraine or any of the other countries who did not heed the warnings of our intelligence, but that is an example right there of people telling you something and you are unwilling to accept it, right? Or somehow you don't believe in it until it happens. You know, I was talking to your pastor earlier and I said, I remember when my mother and some of the older ladies in the church, they told me, they said, listen, son, cherish the time that you have with your children. Cherish them right now. And I didn't understand it because I was cherishing the time, but I did not know that that time would pass so quickly. And at this age right now, I'm adjusting almost to a home that's empty. Well, that's what happened to the disciples, right? That's what something similar. They didn't understand what Jesus was talking about until he was taken away from them. But there was one disciple. There was one disciple who apparently believed in everything that Jesus said. Not one of the 12 disciples, all right, not one of the 72, but this disciple was a woman. And John tells us that 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom he had raised from the dead. And a dinner was held there in Jesus' honor. And it tells us that Martha served the food while Lazarus was reclining at the table with Jesus and his disciples. But then it tells us that Mary took a pint of pure nard, which was an expensive oil-like perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet, and then she wiped his feet with her hair. And the Bible says that the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume, but I like to say that the house was filled with this fragrance of Mary's worship. And then Judas Iscariot, you know, the one who betrayed Jesus, he was obviously displeased. And he said to Mary that this could have been sold and the money could have been given to the poor. And Jesus said to him, leave her alone. This perfume was intended for the day of my burial, right? And he said, whenever this gospel is preached, what she has done will be told in memory of her. The question is, what made Mary so special? Why is it that out of all of the disciples, she alone understood something about what Jesus was going through? Well, it was because, was it because Mary was open? I'm sure that was it. I mean, when you look at the scripture, she was a listener. She listened to everything that Jesus said. Many times in scripture, you will see her at his feet, listening and hanging on to every word that he said. And she received it, right? She had no rebuke for Jesus. She didn't say, no, master, this will never happen to you. None of that. But in acceptance of what the Lord said, she prayed for him. Because if anybody could make things in this world right, it was Jesus. She felt that if anybody could make things in this world right, it was Jesus. The scripture says that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Father, we thank you for these moments. Lord, we ask that you would touch our hearts and our minds and our will. May we be open to you. May we listen to you as you speak to us. And may we put our concerns and our agenda, may we put those things behind us, and may they always be subservient to what it is you want us to do, what it is you want us to know, what it is you want us to say. May those things be subservient to your will. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.